Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We've been on a series called Accessing the Good Life. Accessing the Good Life. Too many people are accessing the bad life. Right? That's a sad thing. Or they find themselves stuck in a life that they don't want. Or a life that they're not completely satisfied with. But we're talking about this morning how to access the good life. Amen? Access the good life. And so a few of our theme scriptures, we've got three theme scriptures that talk about the word access. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says, "Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:18 says this, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." And Ephesians 3:12 says this, that we have boldness and access with confidence through him, or through faith in him. So we found out, first of all, we talked about that there's a password. We must have a password. In order to access the good life, we must understand the password. And the password is in Christ, who we are in Christ. That's our password. We need to understand that. And then I guess one of the other theme scriptures that we have here, I guess number four, the fourth scripture is talking about the good life. And Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified Classic says this, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time." It's not something he's just doing on the fly. He's done this ahead of time. He's prepared things ahead of time for us that we should walk in them, these paths, doing what? Living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So we're talking about accessing the good life because he has prearranged and made it ready for us to live. Amen? And so we talked about the importance of being in him, and we talked about what is good. In order for us to pursue what is good for you and others, that's 1 Thessalonians 5:15, in order for us to do what God said, to pursue what is good for us and others, we need to find out what he thinks and what he says is good. So we spent a whole service talking about what is good, according to the Word of God, what God thinks. And then we talked about your key. One of the things about a key is we understand that a key, a password, can also give us access, but a key also opens or unlocks doors. Unlocks doors. So keys are what unlock doors so we can access what's on the other side. And we talked about that key and found out that faith gives us access. Faith is the key that unlocks the door to access what God has for us. And then we talked about, now that the door is unlocked, we've been talking about opening the door. Opening the door. Too many times people can live a life where the door is unlocked, but they never open the door to access what's on the other side. And that's very sad. That's sad when the door is actually unlocked, but people keep knocking on the door and thinking that the door is in their way. And all they got to do is open the door because it is unlocked. And so we're finding out how to open the door so we can access what God has generously given us by faith. And so we open up that door. And we've been talking about that. And we talked about accessing the good life demands action. So we've been talking about some actions. And we talked about the shout of faith and praise. And then we've been talking about this scripture verse for a few services. Psalm 37. Verses 4 and 5. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. And so verse 4 says this, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And so that's where we started. We talked about delighting ourselves in him. The word delight means to be soft and pliable. It means to delight oneself. In other words, I can't do it for you and you can't do it for me. We must do it for ourselves. And so if we do it for ourselves, it happens. If we don't do it for ourselves, it won't happen. Why? Because we can only do it for ourselves. So we delight ourselves in the Lord. Hallelujah. We are glad in Him is another word for the word delight, to be glad. So we are to be soft and pliable in the Lord's hand. We are to delight or be glad in the Lord. We are to delight in His Word. Hallelujah. The Word talks about us delighting in His Word. And as we delight ourselves in Him and we delight ourselves in His Word and what He says that He gives us the desires of our heart. And what that means is He begins to drop His desires in our heart. So as we begin to delight ourselves in Him, delight ourselves in His Word, we're going to find that our desires begin to change. Not all of them, but we're going to find out all of a sudden we're going to recognize some desires changing. We may have wanted to do this or get this or go that way, and all of a sudden we're going to find out our desires are changing, and He's saying, you know what, we're going to desire this and or get this and go in this direction. Our desires are going to change. Why? Because we're getting in sync with Him. We're getting in sync with Him. Amen? And so then we began to talk that God's way is not always the easy way. You know, too many times people just want what's easy. And just getting and having what's easy does not benefit us. For example, you know, if you lift weights, some people don't want to lift weights because that requires effort. But the thing about lifting weights is that it does require effort, but that effort now strengthens our muscles. But it not only strengthens our muscles, that lifting weights, that resistance, also strengthens our bones and our joints. And so if people don't do any resistance training, if they don't do any lifting of weights, people want to say, well, I don't want to be bulky. You don't have to become bulky. You don't have to be a bodybuilder. You don't have to. Lifting weights, creating resistance, strengthens our muscles and strengthens our joints and our bones. And so that makes our body stronger, gives us longevity. Amen? Some people have issues as they get older because there's no resistance training and their joints and their muscles are not supporting and helping them anymore. Why? Because it's not because your muscles and your joints are not happy with you. It's not because your joints and your muscles are your enemies. It's because our joints and our muscles actually need us to take some action to lift and create some resistance so they can work on our behalf. It's not automatic, right? It's not automatic. We need to do that for ourselves. So God's way is not always the easy way. Jesus was led into the Spirit, led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. You think that was easy? That wasn't easy. He was led by the Spirit. But He passed the test. He put forth the effort and He passed the test. And the Bible says He returned in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So there was a benefit. God's way is not always the easy way, but it is. It is the best way. It is the most fulfilling way. It is the most fruitful way. God's way. God's way. Hallelujah. So then we read in verse 5, it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. And so we talked about this word commit. Commit your way to Him. Commit. Roll your way. Roll this road. Commit this road and this way, this course of life, this action, this path, this journey that we are on to Him. Trust Him and He will bring it to pass. And so we saw that as we delight ourselves in the Lord, He begins to drop His desires in our heart. And as He begins to drop His desires in our heart, it begins to reveal and open up a path or a journey, a course of life or a mode of action for us to take. So we have a choice to walk with Him or not. And one of the things is the least we should be able to do is at least be willing. Lord, I'm willing. You're dropping these desires in my heart. I'm not sure about this, but it is opening a door. It's showing me this path, this journey, this course of action to take. And so, Lord, I commit this road, this path, this course of action. I commit this journey to You. I roll it on you. I cast the care on you. I don't know how to do this. I don't, this is new to me. And so I cast the care on you. Amen? We commit it to Him. And then what do? We trust Him. And we talked about that last week. Trust in the Lord. Trust. Trust means to be confident or to sure, to be bold, to be careless. And to be careless means to not worry or be anxious. No worry, no fear, no anxiety. We are careless. We don't have any care. We don't have any care. We're not carrying the care. We cast the care on Him. And if we cast the care on Him, who's got the care? He does. Amen. And so if we take the care back, who doesn't have the care? He doesn't. And so if He doesn't have the care, He can't work on our behalf. But if we cast the care on Him, if we cast the care on Him, He's taking care of us. So He can only take care of us when we cast the care on Him. If we take it back, then we actually are hindering Him from working on our behalf. So we need to keep the care cast on Him. And if we need to do it every 20 minutes, and you might have to do it every 5 minutes for the first day. I mean, if there's a care and all worry, something that's creating anxiety, well, we might need to cast the care on Him a multitude of times in one day, but if we just continue to do it, all of a sudden, it will become less and less. All of a sudden, it might be the next day, it's only every once every, you know, hour or two. And then after a couple of days of that, it might be it's like once a day. Just, Lord, I cast the care on you. Thank you. See, because the devil is he's putting pressure on us with worry. He's putting pressure on us with fear. He's putting pressure on us with a care. But if we continue to keep the care rolled off on the Lord, the pressure is going to weaken. It's going to loosen. It's going to lessen. It'll become less and less. Amen? So we don't give up. Because if we don't give up, the devil is going to give up. He's going to just move on and have to figure out something else to do. But he's going to continue to stay persistent because he's counting on us giving up. Just say, I will not give up. Amen. Not give up. And so that means the devil's going to have to give up. Hallelujah. He's going to have to back off and think about something else. Jesus didn't give up. Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness and the devil attacked him. And the scripture tells us three specific things. Jesus said, it's written, it's written, and it's written. And every single time the Bible says, the devil went away and came back, devil went away, came back. And it finally says, he just left. Devil left, and we just waited for another opportune time. So he actually just, off he went. I mean, there was no more temptation at that moment. That was the pressure. That was the pressure. And so we cast the care on the Lord, for He takes care of us. And that's part of this committing. Commit our way to the Lord. Why? Because all of a sudden there's this new path, there's this new way, and we commit that to the Lord. Why? Because we don't know it all. And especially when it's new, as we delight ourselves in the Lord, we might be, like, I didn't want to go to Bible school when I graduated high school. When I was at the beginning of high school, my mom said, you know what, you're going to go to Bible school when you graduate, and I wasn't interested. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost at the end of grade 11, and then I'm spending time in grade 12 delighting myself in the Lord, delighting myself in the Word of God, praying in the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden that's all I wanted to do. You know, so sometimes the desire has changed, and we commit it to the Lord because that's all I want to do, but sometimes you don't know how to do it. You know, so I want to do it, but how? I mean, you know, the provision, the supply, the wisdom, the direction. I mean, that's all I want to do, but there's specific details. And so we cast the care on Him because then He begins to give us the wisdom. He begins to put us in connection. He begins to bring provision and supply. And, you know, so there's this thing we need to commit it to Him. Because we don't want to just have this desire and then just run off and do it in our own strength. God, I figured this out. I know how to do it. No, we want to do it with Him. Amen. We don't want to just do it on our own. We want to do it with Him. And we do it with Him. It still may look different than the way we would do it. Maybe it was the way we were planning because we've already kind of got some wisdom and understanding from Him. But there are some things that we just, you know, this is my idea. God, you dropped your idea in. This is my plan to make it, bring it come to pass. And then all of a sudden, we continue to delight ourselves in the Lord. And he gives us some different ways of doing it. You know, one day David was just go out and just, you know, chase the enemy down and attack him. get all your stuff back. Another time, he was supposed to just kind of hang out and wait until he heard, you know, the sound of the bushes of the mulberry tree, the wind blowing, all of a sudden. At that point, he's supposed to attack. And then another time, you know, what did God do? He had Gideon, three troops, and then they blew their trumpet, they shouted, they broke the pots with the flashlight in it, you know. And God doesn't always do it the same way. You know, and another time, Jehoshaphat, he just, you know, said, you know, just stand still. And they figured, well, what are everybody going to do? And they just decided, we're just going to send the praisers out there. Well, let's just sing. Let's just sing while we're standing still. And so the praisers sang, and the Lord ambushed the enemy. You know, so he doesn't always do it the same way. Doesn't always do it the same way for the same person. I mean, so, you know, he might do it one way for us and then do it a different way the next time. And so we need to walk with him, work with him. Why? Because he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Amen? Glory to God. So, commit our ways to him. And then last week we talked about trusting. Trusting him. Why? Why? Because he knows what he's doing. Trust in him. Hallelujah. As we commit or entrust our works to the Lord, our thoughts will be established, and he will establish our thoughts. He will establish our thoughts, and our thoughts will be established. There is this circle that happens as we trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. So, let's go ahead and take off on the next area. He said, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. Let's talk about that today. I'll probably do that. We'll do that today and next week. He will bring it to pass. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul sharing his story. Philippians chapter 3. And let's just start in verse 7. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, the things that were gain are profit to me. These I have counted loss for Christ. The things that I thought were profitable, the things that I was chasing after, the plan that I had, the way, the journey that I had planned out for myself, he says, that path and that journey that was profiting me, benefiting me, how I was going to get ahead and succeed in life, those things that were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. What does that mean? That means, when he met Jesus, he said, not my will, but your will be done. See, now, when he hasn't had his encounter with Jesus, his desires changed. God began to drop new desire in his heart. Matter of fact, by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost began to reveal to the Apostle Paul part of his assignment and what it was going to look like and how hard it was going to be. And he had to choose yes or no. When you hear the Apostle Paul talk about his testimony, God revealed to him his assignment. Not the specific details, but he tells about it, about his assignment. How it's not going to be easy. And he said, not my will, but your will be done. Apostle Paul's a little firecracker. He was on fire for God, and he's killing Christians because he's thinking that's the plan of God, that's the will of God. And when Jesus showed up and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" he went, "Oh, apparently this is not the plan. This is not God's plan." And he changed. But he still stayed on fire. He turned around and got just as much on fire against the devil. See, he didn't know the difference until Jesus showed up. He didn't know the difference until God talked to him. He didn't know the difference. And then after that, it's like, okay, we're moving. We're all, he was all in. I'm all in. I'm all in on this. Amen? And so he said, "The things that I thought were gain and profit to me, I found out were not. And so I count them lost for the sake of Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, and His anointing. So I said, not my will, but your will be done. Yes, indeed, I have counted all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish." So he said, I've lost all these things, but he says, I'm not crying about it. I'm not crying over spilt milk because none of this stuff was profitable for me anyways. I thought it was a big deal, but I'm finding out that's not the big deal. And so he says, I count these things loss. I've suffered loss of all things, but I count them as rubbish. Why? That I might gain Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, and His anointing. That I might know Him. Verse 9, "And be found in Him, and having not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by Him." In other words, I don't want to be found. See, and that's what he was trying to do. Killing Christians was part of his trying to earn righteousness, earn right standing with God by his performance. Then he found out that righteousness, right standing with God, is not based on performance. He found out it's based on faith in Jesus. And he goes, "What a sweet day this is. I put my faith in Him, and I want to be found that my righteousness, my right standing with Him, is based on what He did for me and my believing in what He has done for me." Why? Verse 10, "So that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." I want to know Him. I want to intimately know Him so I can actually experience and enjoy the power of God. I want to know Him, intimately know Him, and the power of His resurrection. And so I'm going to fellowship with Him. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to work with Him. Why? So that by any means, that if by any means I might obtain to this resurrection, that I might be able to lay hold of this resurrection power, that I might be able to walk in this resurrection. Tap into resurrection power that lifts me up from the dead, that raises me up, makes me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Resurrection power. And I now have right standing with Him, an intimate relationship with Him, and I'm experiencing resurrection power. Resurrection power that literally lifts me up out of death, lifts me up out of the law of sin and death, caused me to walk and function and live and enjoy the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, where that life flows through me, quickening my physical and mortal body, quickening my mind, quickening resurrection power. I have a friend of mine that said this. He said the interesting thing about resurrection is that it requires death. We cannot experience resurrection without experiencing death. Can you see what he did? When we say, not my will, but your will be done, what have we just done? We've just died to our will. We've just died to our selfish desire and plan. Not my will, but your will be done. What have we done? We've just died to that. And then we begin to experience and tap into resurrection power, where he's able to lift us up and cause us to experience a life that we actually never even thought was available for us. Now, without going to Matthew chapter 16 and going through all that, that's basically what it says, not my will, but your will be done. Verse 12, not that I have already attained, taken, obtained, or received, or am already perfect, finished, or complete, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Listen, he says, I haven't arrived. I have moved forward. I have got a hold of, you know, some stuff. But I haven't arrived. I'm not finished. I'm not complete. But I press on. I pursue and follow after him. Why? Because I want to get a hold of what he got a hold of me for. You know, it would be sad to get to heaven and find out, listen, Jesus says, I had all these great plans for you. I got a hold of you for this purpose and this reason. There's call and assignment on your life. I got a hold of you so you could do this. And we go, oh, I didn't know that. And we missed out on all those good things. So he said, listen, he says, I haven't arrived. I haven't gotten a hold of everything. I'm not perfect. I am not finished or complete, but I am continuing to pursue and follow after him. Why? So I can get a hold of what he got a hold of me for. I want to get a hold of what he got a hold of me for, right? We want to get a hold of what he got a hold of us for. Amen? Because that's where the fulfillment is. That's where the life is. That's where the joy is. Our getting a hold of what he got a hold of us for. And it's different for each of us. He's got a hold of us for a reason, but that purpose and that reason is different because we're all individuals. He's already thought the thoughts and planned the plans for each and every one of us individually. And apparently it's just not automatic that we go to sleep one night and then wake up the next morning and know it all. Right? Because the Apostle Paul said, listen, I'm pressing and I'm pursuing him. So I can get a hold of what he got a hold of me for. So apparently we don't know it all right away. And it requires some effort. It requires some action. It requires us to pursue and follow after him. So we can see. So we can know. So we can walk in all that he has for us. Verse 13, brethren or family, I do not count myself to have apprehended but one thing. He says, I don't consider that I haven't arrived, I haven't got a hold of anything, but if I've got a hold of anything, I've got a hold of this one thing, he says. I've got a hold of this one thing. What's the one thing you got a hold of, Paul? He says, this is what I do, forgetting the things that are behind, and reaching or stretching forward to those things which are ahead. So it's interesting, as we delight ourselves in the Lord, and he begins to drop his desires in our heart, we commit those to him and trust him in regards to that path and that way. This is what he's talking about. Listen, I forget the things that are behind, But I'm pressing and I'm stretching because I see, I've got this desire. He's dropping his desires in my heart, and I'm beginning to see there is something ahead. There's this path, this road. There is this journey that he has for me. This journey that he has for us. And he says, I'm pressing, I'm stretching forward. Forgetting the things behind, I'm reaching or stretching forward to those things which are ahead. I know they're ahead. I'm beginning to see it. I'm not walking in it. I'm not experiencing it, but I know that it's ahead. And so part of this stretching is this: delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your ways to him. Trust him. He's bringing it to pass. So it's this journey working together with him so he can bring it to pass. This is how we do it. Verse 14, I press. I follow after. I pursue. I press. In other words, it's going to require effort, right? Pressing. It's like a big, thick, heavy door. You're going to have to put some effort into opening the door. You know, or if you get in some of the high rises in downtown Calgary, and they've got that circle door, but because of the air pressure and some that you got to put some effort into pushing that big circle, that door in a circle, so you can get in and so you can get out. Amen? It requires some effort. Pressing. You don't just stand there. You got to push. So there's some pressing. There's some following after. There's some pursuing. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He has an upward call for us. He has an upward assignment. It's upward. It's not a decreasing. It's not a demotion. It's not taking us down. No. His call and his assignment for us is an upward call. It's a promoting call. It's an upward call, moving us up, better and better. Our best days are not behind us. Our best days are ahead of us. Amen? It's an upward call. And he says, listen, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the word goal is also the word marker, and we could call it signs. It's like if you hop on the highway and you want to go to Calgary, and you're seeing signs, Lethbridge, 95 kilometers, Lethbridge, 70 kilometers, you find out you're going in the wrong direction. Why? Because of the markers, the signs. The signs let you know that you're going to Lethbridge. You're not going to Calgary, so you're going to have to turn around. And the same is true. If you want to go to Lethbridge, but all of a sudden you see, the High River's getting closer, and then Okotoks is getting closer, you understand, you're going in the wrong direction. And so we need to turn around. And so this is what he's talking about. I press towards the goal or the markers. And that's part of this, our delighting ourselves in the Lord. He begins to put markers, signs. We delight ourselves in the Lord. He gives us the desires of our heart. We commit those things to him, and we're moving forward step by step on this journey, this path. And he puts markers, letting us know we're moving in the right direction. We're moving in the right direction. If all of a sudden we have this desire, but all of a sudden there's a distraction. See, the devil will bring distractions. He'll bring distractions. And if we chase a distraction, we're going to have to get back on the path that the Lord has. Because we're going to find out that the markers on the distraction are not taking us to where we're supposed to be going. So it's a clue. He says, I press and I pursue and I follow after the markers for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's a path. It's a journey. And so if we find ourselves on a path of distraction, don't beat ourselves up. Just go, okay, I need to. I got myself distracted here. Let's get back on the path. But if we continue to delight ourselves in the Lord, see, it's just important. maintain this intimate relationship with Him. And the distractions can be very limited or short. You know, step off and it's like, oh no, this is not right. We can come back and keep moving forward. But the sad thing is, you know, we get on a distraction for years and find out we wasted years on a distraction. And we should have been way up there on the path going where the Lord has for us, but we spent all this time on this distraction. But if we do what? Forgetting the things that are behind, reaching and preaching and stretching forward to the things that are ahead, wanting to get a hold, see, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, that I might intimately know Him. There's this, we stay in sync with Him. We continue walking with Him. We love Him and we're walking with Him. We're feeding on His Word. We're staying close to Him. The distractions become a short sidestep. Then we go, oh, right, that was a distraction. And we keep moving forward. Amen? But don't get beat up if you stepped off in a distraction. Don't beat yourself up. Just go, thank you, Lord, for showing me. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. Amen? Glory to God. Because He's going to continue to help us stay in the right way, stay in the path. And so He says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So we are to continue to forget the things that are behind, reach or stretch forward to the things that are ahead, and press towards the goal and the markers. Each every signpost, each every sign, keep pressing towards the sign. Keep pursuing every time, step by step, you know, mile by mile. There's a song that Keith Moore taught at Bible school. He said, step by step, or what did I say, foot by foot, yard by yard. Yes. That way it's not so hard. Mile by mile, and after a little while, we'll be there on the other side. Just step by step. Foot by foot, yard by yard. That way it's not so hard. Just one step at a time. Moving forward, down this road, down this path, this journey with God, walking with Him, working with Him. Then we'll find out over the process of time, all of a sudden we'll look back and go, wow, look how far we've come. Glory to God. What an exciting time. And so, He says, let this mind be in you, this mind, forgetting the things that are behind, stretching forward the things that are before, pressing towards the goal. See, He will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass, but He's not going to bring it to pass if we're just sitting at home in our hammock with our iced tea and our feet up going, God, you just do it. You just do it. Why? Because it takes action. Right? Enjoying His will and His plan for our lives takes action, and it's not just His action, it's our action. And it's our action that He actually is able to work with to accomplish His plan. And so the Apostle Paul said, listen, I have some actions. Number one, there's some action I need to forget. I need to forget some stuff behind. Why? Because if we remember too much of the past, it can hinder and hold us back. We can get stuck in the past. And then he said, listen, I'm reaching forward and I'm stretching forward. In other words, there's this action of stretching and pressing forward. We're moving forward. We're seeing this glorious future. We delight ourselves in the Lord and He gives us the desires. He begins to drop His desires in our heart. This is part of accessing the good life. You know, it's not automatic. Accessing the good life is not automatic. It's going to require some effort and some action. And then what is that? That means we need to see what He has before we can even get to where he's got for us. We need to see what he has for us in order to get there. Okay, let me show you. Let me show you that. Genesis chapter 13. We're gonna take a little side journey here. Genesis chapter 13. We must see what he has in order to get what he has for us. We can't just get what he has for us just because he has it for us. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. Abram called on the Lord. Verse 14, it says, halfway through, and the Lord said to Abram after Lot had left him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. The only way he can give us and we can experience the good life is for us to see it first. He said, lift up your eyes and everything you see, I give to you. In other words, if you can't see it, he can't give it to us. So that's why we're supposed to delight ourselves in the Lord so he can begin to drop the desires. And see, what does that mean? When he begins to drop his desires in our heart, we're beginning to see what he has for us. Our desires begin to change. We begin to see what he has for us. Amen? And then we have to commit them to the Lord, because sometimes it's a whole lot bigger than what we thought, and it's a whole lot more stuff involved that we might not even know how to do, but we need to commit it to the Lord and trust him so he can bring it to pass. So it's not up to us to bring it to pass, but it is up to us to work and to walk with him. But we need to see it first. And what does that mean? That means, for example, and it's probably the same for all of us, but for me, you know, as a teenager, I'm born again, going to denominational church, and had no clue that the Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. What does that mean? I didn't see that, and so I didn't know it was available. By the stripes of Jesus, ye were healed. King James. You were healed. And if you were, then we are. But I didn't see that, so I didn't pursue it. I didn't lay hold of it. I couldn't enjoy it. He'd given it to me. He'd given it to us. But until we saw that, we didn't know that that was for us. We must see what he has for us before we can even go in that direction. As we begin to see it, lift up your eyes and see. Everything you see, the land that you see, I give to you. So we begin to see these great and precious promises. We begin to see what he has for us. We begin to see it. When we begin to see it, we begin to take hold of it because we know it's ours. God has given it to us. Amen? And so the more we see, the more we can go, the more we see that what he has for us, the more we can move in that direction. It opens up this path. I didn't even know this path was available until all of a sudden we see. And it's like, all right. And we start moving in that direction. Hallelujah. So, the Apostle Paul said, he said, listen, to lay hold and to attain, he says, I forget, I reach, and I press. That's what we've been talking about, right? We're talking about accessing the good life. And so in order to lay hold and to attain, to access the good life, we're going to have to forget some things, we're going to have to reach for some stuff, and we're going to have to press and pursue. Amen? So, we walk or work with God. We work with God. God provides the desire that He wants to bring to pass. See, isn't that interesting? We don't have to come up with the desires. We delight ourselves in the Lord, and He provides the desire. God provides the desire that He wants to bring to pass in our life. And as we delight ourselves in Him, He provides it. He gives it to us. Why? So we will commit and trust and to delight ourselves in Him. Why? So He can bring it to pass. So He's got this plan. He's got this plan for us. And in order for us to get there, He just says, delight yourself in me. We delight ourselves in Him, and He begins to drop this desire in our heart. Because it's a desire that He has for us. It's a destination, a desire, a destination, a desire, a journey. So we need delight, and He begins to drop the desire in our heart that He wants for us. We didn't have to come up with it. We just delight ourselves in Him, and He gives it to us. And then He says, now just take that desire, that desire that I just dropped in there, now just commit it to me. Commit it to me and walk with me so I can bring it to pass. So we got the easy part. We delight and we commit and just follow after Him. He gives us a desire and He brings it to pass. We just walk with Him. Amen? So, let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and see this, Jesus speaking, John chapter 14, John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 10. And if we back up to verse 8, Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will is sufficient for us. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you. The words. Say words. Okay, so he's talking about words. The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, He does the works. Interesting. He starts out talking about words, and He finishes talking about works. So God has a work that He wants to do. But in order for Him to do the work, He needs to give us some words. He gives us some words. Why? So we can say them. So we can believe them. And if we will get in line with His word, His words, speak and act on His words, then He's able to do the works. So we look at it from God's perspective. Excuse me. He wants to do a work. He wants to do a work here, and we're here. He wants to do a work here, but we're here. And so what He does is He gives us words. He gives us words, so we can believe the words, speak the words, act on the words, so He can do the work. So He takes us from here to here, but He doesn't just pick us up and move us. We have to work with Him. So in order to, He wants to work. This is my desire. I got to work. I got a plan. I got an assignment. I got something amazing for you. I have a good life for you. And so for us to access that, we need His word. He gives us a word. We don't even have to come up with a word. He gives us a word. Word. Book of words. And even by the Spirit, He gives us words. They line up with His word. Give us a word. We believe and act on it. Believe and act on it. Believe and act on it. And He does the work. Gets us to where He wants us to be. Amen? He provides the desire. He provides the desire that he wants to bring to pass. So we will commit and trust and delight in him. Why? So he can bring it to pass. There's this process. We work together with him. He has a good life. And now he has to get us, moving. We need to get in motion. And so according to the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, we forget, we reach, and we press. Jesus said, here, God gave me a word. I speak his word so he can do a work. God has a work that he wants to do in our life, so he gives us a word so God can do the work. We believe and act on it. Amen. Can you see this process? This process of working with him, walking with him. He's not doing it all. We're working with him. We can even say it this way. He's working with us. In other words, if we don't do any work, he's got nothing to work with. This is part of just growing up spiritually, working and walking together with him so he can get his plan and his purposes accomplished. And so we can enjoy our life, the good life. Amen? Accessing the good life is not just automatic. It's working together with him, walking with him. It's a journey. It's a fun journey. It's a journey where we're constantly learning, committing ourselves to committing the things to him. Why? Because we don't know it all. Remember, God told Moses this. He said, you need to have the people follow the priests. I'm going to tell you where to go, and they need to follow them. Why? Because you've not gone this way before. Maybe it was Joshua. You've not gone this way before. So you're going to have to follow the priests because you've not gone this way before. This is new territory. You know, so we're following the Lord because it's new territory. He's leading and guiding us. Remember, when it comes to Israel and children of Israel in the wilderness, God led them by day with fire, or a cloud, and by night with a fire. When the cloud moved, the people moved. When the cloud stopped, the people stopped. This is just a wonderful, wonderful example and demonstration of how we walk with God, how we're led by the Spirit. We just follow him. He moves this way, we move this way. He moves this way, we move this way. We just walk with him, work with him, walking with the Word, renewing our mind with the Word of God. It's just so wonderful. He will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass because we're walking with him, working with him. Forgetting, I forget, I reach, and I press. God gives me a word, we speak the word, so God can do it. Huh? Hallelujah. He just sets us up for success every step of the way. He loves us, and he is so good to us. Hallelujah. So good to us. And we have basically run out of time here. So we're going to pick up here next week. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.